Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Minda Corporation Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Raghunandan NL from Emkay Global Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Lizanne. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Emkay Global, we are pleased to invite you for Minda Corporation earnings call. We thank the management for providing us the opportunity. From the management team, we are pleased to have Mr. Ashok Minda, Chairman and Group CEO, Mr. Neeraj Mahajan, Group President, Marketing, Mr. Vinod Raheja, Group CFO, and Mr. Anshul Saxena, Group Head, Strategy and M&A. We would request the management for opening remarks, post which we can open up the floor for question and answer session. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Raghunandan. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Q1 financial year 2023 earnings conference call of Minda Corporation. I would like to thank you all for joining us on this conference call here today and hope you and your families are keeping safe and healthy. Despite several challenges and the first quarter of financial year 2023 was marked by industry growing across segment by more than 36% year-on-year, wherein commercial vehicle performed exceptionally well by growing more than 85% year-on-year, while two-wheeler and three-wheeler segment saw a growth of 37% year-on-year and CV grow by 33%. However, there were fair set of challenges to be dealt with, like inflationary pressure on fuel prices, rising raw material costs, semiconductor shortages, geopolitical tension, et cetera. Despite this, I am pleased to report that Minda Corporation has continued to deliver strong performance with our constant focus on research and development, diversified product portfolio, strong business fundamentals, and carefully carved out growth strategies. During the quarter, Minda Corporation achieved its highest ever quarterly revenue of INR 10,102 million, with EBITDA of INR 1,066 million and EBITDA margin of 10.6%, registering a growth of 504 basis points year-on-year. PAT margin stood at 5.2%, growing by 390 basis points year-on-year. Updating you on a key development during the quarter, the company has filed three new patents, taking the total number of patents filed and applied to more than 220, out of which almost 40% of the patents are filed in the last five years. Deeper penetration in EV space, especially two-wheeler smart key and high voltage wiring harnesses and non-legacy product like power distribution unit, integrated power module and junction box for EV commercial vehicles. Our focus on new order book remained steadfast, and in Q1 financial year 2023 also we have won businesses across all divisions, with EV constituting more than 20% of the total order wins during the quarter. The roadmap ahead would be to aggressively grow our share of business with existing customers and onboarding new customers through focus on technological upgradation via in-house R&D and global. We are also working on further strengthening our operational excellence through cost leadership and digitalization of business processes. We are continuing to work upon localization of connection system to reduce dependency on import and improve margin. We continue to drive strength from our robust balance sheet with zero net debt, strong operating cash flow generation, and continuous focus on right capital allocation strategy. The outlook for the automotive industry remains positive with the introduction of new technology and subsequent government programs to support the industry. The sector growth appears to be on rise. Indian automotive demand is expected to remain high due to increased penetration, rising income, significant jump in urban population, and continued government support. With this, I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Anshul Saxena, our group strategy head, to discuss the financials and the operational performance of the company during the quarter. Over to you, Anshul.
Thank you. Thank you, Ashok ji. I will now take all of you to our earnings presentation, which will provide you a brief of the quarter one FY23 performance of Mindar Corporation. I am on slide number 3, wherein just a brief about the Spark Mindar Group. As of FY22, the group consolidated across all the entities have a revenue of roughly 1,500 million. We employ more than 16 plants.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. Your voice is breaking up.
Yeah. And we also operate 7 partnerships which are providing us technological advances in various product divisions. Moving on, I'm at slide number
4. Sorry to interrupt. Sir, your voice is breaking up, so we are not able to hear what you're saying.
Okay. Am I audible now? Hello, Lizan? Hello, Lizan, am I audible now?
Yes, sir, you're audible now. Please proceed.
Okay. For the sake of situation, I just was in slide number 3 right now, in which provided a brief of the Spark Mindar Group. And I'll just start again. As of FY 2022, the Spark Mindar across all its entities has total turnover of around 35,500 million rupees, employing more than 16,000 people. We have 33 manufacturing units and offices in India and across the world. And we operate 7 partnerships with various international companies which are providing us technological advancements in various product divisions. Moving on, slide number 4, which provides a brief of the highlights of quarter one for financial year 2023. We are continuing our path towards the growth momentum, and we are very pleased to announce highest ever quarterly revenue of 10,102 million rupees. The double-digit EBITDA margin for 8 straight quarter on a sequential basis is a testament towards our continuous efforts of operational performance. PAT margin stood at 5.2%, growing by 390 basis points year on year as compared to quarter one of last financial year. In terms of R&D, our efforts are continuing with the same momentum, and we are pleased to announce that we have filed 3 more patents during the quarter, and with this, our total patent files are more than 220 plus. In terms of order books and new order wins, our momentum is continuing. We have won significant businesses across all segments, and electric vehicle, EV, is now constituting 20% share of all the orders that we have won in quarter one FY23. Moving on, I'm now at slide number 5. In terms of revenue, As we mentioned, the revenue of 10,102 million for quarter one FY23, which grew by 80% year-on-year basis. And moving on, EBITDA. In this quarter, our EBITDA is at 1,066 million, which is basically, in terms of absolute value, 246% higher year-on-year basis as compared to Q1 of last financial year. Herein, we would like to mention that despite rising commodity prices, which have given also a numerator-denominator impact, which basically is the pass-through of the raw material prices increase, we have maintained double-digit EBITDA margin. PAT, we are pleased to announce PAT margin of 5.2%, total 525 million rupees of profit after tax, which has grown much more significantly, close to sixfold from the last year quarter one on a year-on-year basis. Moving on, I am at slide number six. So in terms of key business verticals that we operate five business verticals: mechatronics, which includes our security system division, information and connected system, in which wiring harness is our key product, interior plastics, aftermarket, and electronic manufacturing excellence, in which we provide all the new age products to various OEMs. Key customers. All I can say is that we are proud to be associated with all the leading OEMs in India and across the world as our customers. And the green ones are the EV-related customers, wherein the key is that apart from the traditional OEMs, Minda Corporation is also associating with the new age EV OEMs. SMIT, Spark Minda Technical Center, which has teams which specialize in R&D across various product divisions. Moving on, I am now on slide number seven to provide a breakup of the revenues. By geography, in this quarter one, in domestic sales constituted 85% of the sales. Exports and overseas market constituted around 15%. By end market, two-wheeler and three-wheeler constituted close to 44% of sales, commercial vehicles and tractors 30%, and passenger vehicles close to 15%. The rest coming from aftermarket. And by business verticals, mechatronics and aftermarket provided 58% of overall sales, and information connected system 42%. Moving on, I am now at slide number eight. To provide a brief of how the automotive Indian automotive industry performed. So the first chart is a year-on-year comparison of quarter one FY23 versus quarter one of FY22. Well, the last year quarter one was a bad quarter impacted by a second wave of COVID. Hence, all the segments, tractors, commercial vehicles, three-wheeler, passenger vehicle, two-wheeler, grew significantly on a year-on-year basis. And as you can see, overall auto industry grew close to 37% in quarter one as compared to last year quarter one. On a quarter and quarter basis, so basically comparison with the last year quarter four, almost all the segments, PV, CV, three-wheeler were down, whereas tractors and two-wheelers registered growth. So overall, on a quarter and quarter basis, the domestic industry grew by 6.5%. What we believe is, and as it was mentioned by our chairman, Mr. Ashok Minda also, that there are supply chain constraints still persistent in this industry. Long waiting period for semiconductors, rising commodity prices. But in spite of that, we are confident about the consumer demand, which continues to remain robust. The entry-level automobile sales are under pressure due to rising commodity prices. But overall improvement across all the segments due to government steps to ease inflationary pressure, reducing the excise duty on...
तुम्ही ज्या व्यक्तीशी बोलत आहात, त्याने तुमच्या कॉलला होल्डवर...
And various other initiatives taken by the government, we are confident that the demand would continue to robust. So while the industry is grappling with numerous challenges, we remain cautiously optimistic about the domestic demand. Moving on, I am now at slide number nine, wherein we are providing a glimpse of the consolidated performance for quarter one. As we mentioned earlier, The operating revenue for this quarter, 10,102 million, highest ever in the history of Minda Corporation on a quarterly basis. It grew significantly, 81% year on year, and around 6.6% from last year, quarter four. EBITDA margin at 10.6%, 1,066 million rupees, which grew significantly from last year, quarter one, year on year. This was seen. Herein, as compared to Q4, wherein the EBITDA margin was 11.4%, as I mentioned earlier, we are glad to maintain a double-digit EBITDA margin because this quarter also showed a rise in commodity prices, which gave us a double impact of rise in RMC cost, as well as giving a numerator-denominator impact wherein the RM price, which was passed through, reduced the percentage. So in spite of that, a 10.6% EBITDA margin is being reported. PBT at 7% and profit after tax, 525 million at 5.2%, which is much higher than quarter one of last year, where it was maybe 1.3%. The last year, quarter four, Q4, included a one-timer of 220 million. So barring that also, the PAT margins are almost at the same level. We are glad to announce that operations have outperformed, again, the industry production numbers, which is due to new businesses acquired and productionized during the quarter, as well as gaining share of business. Our die casting business, led by PV and two-wheeler segment, along with exports, continue to give us a good impetus in the revenue increase. And EBITDA margin, we talked about, that though there was impact due to commodity prices, but our sustained productivity and operational efficiency drives are going on, which are giving us a double-digit EBITDA margin on a continuous basis. Moving on, I am now at slide number 10, where I'm a brief about the business vertical performance. The mechatronics aftermarket and others business vertical registered a revenue of 4,920 million at 12.6% EBITDA margin. And information and connected system registered 3,620 million revenue at 7.1% EBITDA margin. Herein also, as we saw in the last slide, across both the divisions, the EBITDA margin is much better improved as compared to Q1 of last year. Though from Q4 of FY22, which was an exceptional quarter, due to rising commodity prices, the pressure is seen in terms of the EBITDA margin. The key focus in mechatronics remains EV segment, apart from our traditional base of two-wheeler and others in the share of business, where in wiring harness, we are actually struggling with the semiconductor supply crunch issue, but we are still ensuring our productivity improvement drives. I'll now talk about the future strategic aspects of the group. And with this, I move on to slide number 12 of the presentation, wherein, in terms of future strategy, we have very clearly identified four pillars on which our growth strategy is built upon. The first one, focus on enhancing the core, wherein we are continuously working to inculcate new technologies into our legacy products like security systems, wiring harness, instrument cluster, die casting, which will give us an edge in terms of premiumization of our products and also ensuring that we remain in sync with the latest technological changes. The second pillar, in innovation and technology. Herein, apart from in-house R&D, which is at SMIT Pune and as well as across the business verticals, we are also always on a lookout for partnership with global players for specific technological needs so that it can give us an edge in terms of better time to market. Third pillar, electric vehicle growth opportunity. While we are glad to say that almost 95% of our revenue comes from products which are ICE to EV change agnostic, still, having said that, we are keeping a very close eye on the way electric vehicle market is developing. We are constantly working towards introducing new products, which is increasing the content per vehicle. And the fourth pillar is strategic, strengthening the passenger vehicle offering. We are now at around 15% of our sales coming from passenger vehicles, and through various products like control systems, sensors, interior plastics, we are ensuring that we grow this pie. Moving on, I am now at slide number 13 of the presentation. This is just to give a glimpse of how we are targeting the electric vehicle market. So from a 4,000 to 5,000 rupees content in an ICE two-wheeler, which included the lock sets, wiring harness, cluster, mechanical clusters, and others, through just premiumizing our own products. So basically, which means from a normal lock set to a keyless solution, from mechanical to a digital cluster, from a low voltage wiring harness to a high voltage wiring harness, we have been able to double our content per vehicle. So from 4,000 to 4,500, we are now at 8,000 to 9,000 content per vehicle for EV two-wheeler. And on top of this, we have introduced and developed and introduced various new products in the market, like DC-DC converters, battery chargers, which are already being offered in the market and already the production has started. We have added another 8,000 to 10,000 rupees content per vehicle. So from a 4,000 to 5,000 rupees content in an ICE two-wheeler, we are now at 16,000 to 20,000 rupees content in an EV two-wheeler. The bottom part of the slide shows the EV customers, and here again, the message is very clear that apart from traditional OEMs who are moving from ICE to EV, we are constantly working to be associated also with the new age EV OEMs like Ola Electric and Ather, so as to make sure that we are associated with all the key OEMs in this space. Moving on, I am now at slide number 14. The summary of our value proposition, and again, we are pleased to say that high-value, technologically advanced products with global presence, cost leadership in manufacturing, combined with thought leadership in technology, offering advanced technology products in lightweighting, safety, connected, electrification, so basically, which are in sync with the technological change happening in the auto OEM industry, technological tie-ups with global players, well-diversified customer base, low leverage, which is providing us a significant flexibility in terms of financial for organic or inorganic growth, a good governance structure, and a high focus on sustainability. So these are the value propositions which are driving our growth in the future. I'll now, in my last section of the presentation, talk briefly about the ESG, the Environmental and Sustainable Initiative, CSR, and the awards that we have received in this quarter. I refer to slide number 16 of the presentation. This is our Environmental, Social, Governance, Sustainability Framework, in which the five key pillars of growth, which includes working with the communities, customer satisfaction, care for people, ethical business practices, sustainable operations. Sustainable operations is now a very key focus area for us, and responsible value chain. So we are working on, and in each of these pillars, we have very clear identified action plan, which is ensuring that we are in sync with the way environment is changing. I refer to now slide number 17 of the presentation, the corporate social responsibility. As we have communicated always, corporate social responsibility plays a key role in the way we conduct our business because we strongly believe in giving back to the society. And continuing our efforts, there are various initiatives that we did in this quarter, like a Pan-India Cycle Enrollment Drive, Medicaid distribution, plantation drive on the World Environment Day. So these are some of the initiatives which we have taken in this endeavor of corporate social responsibility. I now refer to slide number 18 of my presentation, which is the last slide. We are pleased to announce that we have received 38 awards during the quarter one, and these awards are divided across all business divisions, and the details are in the slide. But key thing to note is that we have received this award from various prestigious forums like ACMA and CII, wherein these forums continue to appreciate the work that we are doing in various areas. With this, now I come to the end of the presentation and we can begin the question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is on the line of Mohit Khanna from Banyan Capital Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, guys, and congratulations on a good set of numbers in a difficult environment. First of all, I would just like to point out the level of disclosures in the PPT has sort of gone down. So if you would provide details of the order book
composition. Sorry to interrupt, sir. Sir, we're not able to hear you clearly.
Hello. Am I audible now?
Sir, can you use the handset mode while speaking? Because
I am on the handset.
Yes,
am I audible now?
Sir, you're audible, but your audio is very soft.
Is it fine now?
Sir, slightly better. Please proceed.
Yes. So I was just pointing out that there was a level of disclosures have actually gone down with this presentation. So if you could just provide more color on the order book to begin with. And then when we speak about the EV order book that's now constituting almost 20%, can you point out with regards to the slide number 13, wherein which components are the maximum selling components for you in the EV size? Thank you.
Hi. Thanks. Thanks for the question. So yes, in terms of the order book details, from this quarter, we are not providing an overall number. And that is mainly because, as we have mentioned in the past, we calculate our order book details based upon the projections given by the OEM at the time of the business award. And once it comes to the production, sometimes there is very much variation from that. And we have also received the feedback that this leads to the confusion. But to answer the question, in this quarter, we have, we have received order book of a very healthy order book. Overall, our order book is close to 25,000 million rupees lifetime. But again, this is as per the projections provided by the OEM when we have won the order. Coming to your specific questions of EV order book, which is at around 20%. So herein, both the products have constituted. Our legacy product also, which is, let's say, wiring harness, so high voltage wiring harness, as well as our newest products like the battery chargers. So both the products have constituted our order book for EV. So this basically is a smart key, wiring harnesses, die casting, as well as the new age in which battery chargers and DC-DC converters play a key role.
Fair enough. So if you could just provide a breakup of that, and my second and last question would be, could you just give us more details of how you are seeing the two-wheeler market recovery? July data was up 9%, but then how are you seeing it with your orders on the production side? Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah, sure. We would provide the details to you later upon on this. And in terms of two-wheeler, yes, we have seen the recovery in this quarter as compared to Q1-Q basis as compared to last quarter. We are, as you mentioned, we continue to be cautiously optimistic about all the segments in the market in terms of the growth, because we believe that the demand is robust, and hopefully the challenges which are there in terms of supply chain should go down, and the overall industry across all the segments should continue to grow.
Thank you, sir. I'll come back in with you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Kali from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question, and congrats on a decent set of numbers in a challenging environment. So my first question was, regarding your smart key solution product. I mean, if you can just speak a little more about how are you in that journey in terms of new orders, the acceptability of this product in various new model launches that you're seeing, given that, it does come with a price. So, not all OEMs may want to add that cost, but it also adds to the feature list of the product. So how are you seeing that response from the customers? If you can just throw some light on any new orders you've won on that particular product.
Yes, what you are saying is very right. There is a big cost difference between
mechanical. Sorry, your audio is breaking up.
Yeah. Am I audible now?
Yes, sir. A little better. Please proceed.
So you are there is a cost difference between mechanical and smart key. As you know, that we have started our development 3-4 years back, and now almost we have started getting the business award mainly from the EV vehicle. Most of the EV vehicle is using this smart key, and about 15 to 20
Sorry to interrupt, sir. We lost your audio from the last few seconds.
Can you hear now?
Yes, sir.
What Ashokji was trying to explain, that yes, there is we all know that there is a significant cost difference in terms of the traditional lock set versus the keyless edition. So yes, Jay, your point is valid there. And the second point that Ashokji mentioned, that what we have seen, that majority of the customers who are trying this keyless solution are EV-related customers, wherein this price increase can be absorbed in the overall manufacturing cost of the vehicle. We have around 14 to 15 different programs which are under development in this solution. So the traction in the market is high whereas compared to the EV vehicles. And of course, in the ICE vehicles, it will depend upon how the traction covers and how the ICE makers are able to absorb the overall cost increase from which comes from a traditional lock set to smart key. But we are confident that it will grow continuously in the years to come, much more at a much more higher pace.
Understand. Would your competition have also have developed this earlier? You were the only one, or you still have 100% share of business in this product? And also, just to add on in terms of your raw material cost and numbers, we've seen the gross margins have contracted significantly on a sequential basis. How do you see the raw material side going forward in Q2, Q3? Do you expect a reduction from Q2 itself, or do you think that will spill over to 2H FY23 where you start seeing meaningful reduction?
Regarding your first question of the competitor for the smart key, at the moment, the Indian competitor is not in our notice. In our knowledge, nobody is having so far, but they are all dependent on the outside technology and outside development. The second one is the raw material. I will request Vinod Ahuja to explain.
Your observation is correct that in Q1, our raw material cost as a percentage to sale was higher than the sequential quarter. We should keep two things in mind. That number one, in Q4, we had, because of year-end, higher customer recoveries, and also in Q1, the commodity prices continue to rise, particularly in first April and May, actually, you know. While we have back-to-back agreements with OEMs, but we don't get any margin so far as commodity price increase is concerned. Therefore, optically, our raw material cost as a percentage to sale goes up, whereas in absolute term, our EBITDA remains the same. But thankfully now, with commodity pricing easing, actually, you know, while we have back-to-back agreement, this numerator-denominator impact should we know, and we can sort of look at normalized EBITDA margin.
Understood. And just one last question, or if I may squeeze in a couple of more questions. So first is on your mix. You know, if we see your CVs, revenues, from Q4 to Q1 has increased. And I'm talking sequentially, not YOY, in terms of absolute revenues. Is that correct? And if yes, then what would have led to that? Because normally in production-wise, Q1 is a lower quarter than Q4 in terms of CV production. And the second is, on your motor controller strategy, from the EV product side, how do you see adding new products apart from the ones that is already under development? Do you see you doing it in-house or partnering with someone or inorganic expansion? How do you, take this in?
Okay, I will take the question number one, actually, if we really see in terms of the automotive production volumes, Q1 vis-a-vis Q4, that is the preceding quarter, industry volume grew by about 6%, actually, While our top line growth was also around 6%, but our OE business grew at about 10%, actually, Our exports were slightly lower because of the geopolitical tension and one seasonal customer that we have. And also, similarly, so far as our aftermarket business is concerned, Q4 is always the highest quarter,
because distributors do the heavy lifting to earn annual incentives. Net-net, our oil business in Q1 grew by 10%, outperforming the industry production volume growth of 6%. Yeah, so far as your question number two is concerned, yeah.
The question number two is yes, we have developed DC-DC converter for the EV segment, battery charger. There are other products also we are working, and we have so many products in our basket which we have introduced. Now the real work is that how to increase them vertically each product. So we are also working for the EV products. Some of the tie-up like we have done we have invested in the EVQ about 2 quarters before. So this is a continuous journey, and we are regularly working on that and take vertically high to all the products which we have introduced.
Understood. Dave, thanks and all the best. I'll come back to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Jain from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congrats for a strong set of performance. Sir, my first question is related with the wiring harness business. So what was the revenue base in terms of the two-wheelers, passenger vehicle and CVs? And as the copper prices has gone down quarter-on-quarter basis, how is the outlook for the margin in wiring harness business? Will it touch around 10% in the coming quarter?
Yeah, I will take the second question first so far as the copper prices are concerned, actually, you know. We have back-to-back arrangements so far as our customers and suppliers are concerned, and largely we are insulated from the variation in the prices of commodities, actually, you know. So far as this part is concerned, we have... That should not have...
Sorry to interrupt, member of the management team. Sir, your audio is breaking up. They're not able to hear you clearly.
Yeah, so... I would just repeat that we have back-to-back arrangements so far as our customers are concerned and similarly our vendors basically, you know, so far as procurement of copper is concerned actually, you know. So any variation in the price of commodity copper is unlikely to have any impact on our EBITDA margins actually, you know. And as regards the product mix of our wiring harness division, two and three-wheelers contributed about 50% of the revenue and commercial vehicle at about 40% actually, you know. I hope this answers your questions.
You want to say that this wiring harness business margin would be remain around 7.1 or 7.2% despite the strong revenue mix in this quarter, that is the CV contributed around 40%. So just wanted to understand what would be the driver for the wiring harness business going ahead.
See, we have also explained earlier that we are doing a lot of localization, which the import content at the moment is quite heavy, and this is a process itself. The approval required a lot of time at a customer end. So one is, as Vinod has mentioned about back-to-back arrangements will secure us not to have any impact. Secondly, is the localization of the component will really, and third, which will impact is our improvement in the productivity. Continuous improvement in the productivity because, you know, the wiring harness is a labor-intensive work. So that will, quarter-on-quarter and year-on-year, will improve the EBITDA margin of wiring harness.
So what is the current localization in the wiring harness business?
See, before BS6, that means in BS4, we were almost... more than 90% was our localization. But now, I think somewhere around 20% is localized. rest we are importing 20% is import. Yes. So 20% is localized. 80% we are importing from Japan, Europe, and United States, and so on.
Okay. And sir, there are a couple of questions from the mechatronic business. We are seeing a strong traction in the die casting business. So what was the revenue in the first quarter? And what was the mix, to say that two-wheelers versus the four-wheelers?
In die-casting two-wheeler, we are not in two-wheeler. It's a very insignificant. Some of the products we are giving in two-wheeler. Majority is our export and for the domestic customer die casting. Regarding the breakup of the die casting,
yeah, I'll take that. Okay. So
55%. So total die casting revenue is about 152 crores in quarter one financial year 23.
So you are almost at a peak utilization level. So just wanted to understand your CapEx plan for the future in the die casting business.
CapEx plan for die casting business.
See, as I mentioned in my speech, very, very clear, and the capital allocation is a very important area for us, where we very, and die casting is a capital intensive business. So we are always very careful and we always calculate our return by investing any in die casting machine or die casting investment. So it depends on each product to product, which product we have to capture, and then only we decide our investment.
Okay, sir. And my last question is related with your deleveraging plan. You still have around 400 crores kind of the debt in this situation where the interest rate is going up. So just wanted to know your plan for the deleverage your balance sheet and what repayment plan for the FY23 and 24.
Well, if I have understood your question correctly, you are saying that we have debt of about 400 crores actually, you know. But this needs to be also seen in the context of the cash that we have in our balance sheet, which as at 31st of March stood at about 335 crore rupees actually, you know. So net-net, we have only a debt of about 60 crore rupees on our books basically, you know. And in terms of our net debt to EBITDA is 0.05 only.
But if you see the numbers, especially the interest cost, you are paying around 8 to 9 crores every quarter. And other income, you are gaining around only the 4 crores. So arbitrage is not in favor of you. So are you not looking to pay the interest cost, pay the entire or the partial K and deleverage your balances?
First of all, I don't think that this would be the kind of differential that is being talked about. The spread that we are talking about is not more than 1.5% differential between the rate at which we deploy and at which we borrow actually, you know. So that is not material, but we want to have sort of cash in our balance sheet so that we can use it at opportune time for any opportunity actually.
Okay, sir. Thanks, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Chirag Shah from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, only one question I had. Rather, two questions. One is, in the revenue, is there any recovery of the earlier quarter that we received? Hello?
Well, our top line grew by about 6% in this quarter vis-a-vis the preceding quarter, actually, you know. That includes about 2%, actually, you know, on account of recoveries
because of increase in the prices of commodities actually. So we can say that our real growth in this quarter, overall business put together, was about 4%. But like I mentioned earlier, our oil business grew by about 10%, which includes about 2-2.5% on account of recoveries. So the real growth in our oil business was about 7.5-8% actually, you know.
And so this recovery is pertain only to last quarter? It's a cumulative of...
Like you would know that in terms of our contracts with customers, the prices are revised quarterly and in few cases on a half-yearly basis. So effective, say, 1st of April, the prices were revised based on the variation in commodity prices of the Q4 actually. You know. So this is a regular phenomenon actually, you know, that we have.
And so will we right to assume that for... In Q2, this recovery number would be higher given that cost pressure, raw material cost has seen a upward trajectory in Q1?
Yes.
Given the way our contracts were, so the recovery could be slightly higher.
Yeah, please go ahead, Chirag. Sorry.
So I was saying the way that your contracts are structured, would it be right to assume that this recovery number could be higher in Q2?
Okay. Like I mentioned, yes, the price of commodities, yes, have seen easing since, I think, towards end of June and now. But as I mentioned earlier, that our contract with our customer and supplier are largely mirrored actually, you know. Therefore, that sort of ensures that our EBITDA margin sort of remain in the range. However, as and when the price, commodity prices goes up, that has optical impact on our EBITDA margin because we don't get any margin on increase in price of commodities.
Okay. The second question was, if I look at your other expenditure, absolute amount has seen a reduction on sequential basis despite a better revenue as well as volume, value as well as volume. Anything specific to note over there? Either Q4 had any one-off item and one-off lumpy impact, or is there anything to note?
Well, if I understood your question, you are saying that the other expenses is showing a declining trend actually, you know.
Yeah, so versus 101 crores of Q4, it's around 98 crores, despite the revenue being higher Q1Q.
Yes, yes, the numbers you are reading are correct, and it continues to be a focus area for us to control our admin, selling, general administration expenses and conversion costs. By your productivity improvement in these areas, innovative sort of thinking, yes, this is the main focus area through which we are able to drive value, particularly when commodity prices are on the rise actually.
Okay. So there is nothing lumpy inside, right? Such an expenditure has got postponed or something of that sort in subsequent quarter. Nothing of that sort. Thank you very much, sir. All the best.
Thanks, Sunal.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in this conference, we request you to limit your questions to 2 per participant only. The next question is from the line of Pankaj from Affluent Assets. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot for taking my question. I'm audible?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Well, sir, taking ahead the question by earlier participant, wherein you had mentioned that the wire harness, the margins for wire harness are low because of the high import content. But I just wanted to compare with the market leader who is earning more than 12% margins and ours are 7.5. The differential, there is high differential between two players, and I would request you to is import content the only reason for that? And if it is, so I would like to understand what is the roadmap, internal roadmap which you would have had, so that we which would guide us to narrow the margin differential in the industry and yours.
See, if you see in the past, when it was BS4, our margin was in wiring harness was double digit, and we have to bring back over a period. And the one of the important, as I mentioned you, that this is a good percentage of this is imported components or imported connection system in wiring harness, and this will definitely give bring us to that our earlier level. But quarter on quarter and year on year, there will be improvement. However, the productivity is also very, very important, as I mentioned you. So that will also give us a benefit in wiring harness margin.
So can you give any timeline, say maybe by next year or 2 years from here, where we can have a vision when we can reach that, if not double digit, if not that coveted 12% or 12.5%, at least lower double digits or post 10%?
As I mentioned, you will see, we are continuously doing efforts. You will see at the end of the year, there will be a further improvement, and it is going to show you the higher improvement, continuous improvement in the EBITDA margin for the wiring harness.
So second question I would like to understand about the EVs. So what is the current situation from the OEM after this fire related incident from many of these OEMs and central government pushing some regulatory reforms in that? So what is the current condition? How is the demand scenario? How are they talking? How are they interacting with you on ground? And what is the future order book which you have had with them, especially the EV firm?
First of all, this is my understanding, and this is my view that EV is going to be 20-25%, maybe after 5-7 years of the total population vehicle, and the two-wheeler, because the total production is increasing, the percentage of the EV and ICE will be of that ratio. However, in two-wheeler, which will happen very fast, and in three-wheeler, two and three-wheeler will happen fast. Four-wheeler and heavy commercial, four-wheeler will be little later, and in the tractors and in the heavy commercials, it will take very longer time. So it is continuously to improve, and definitely such type of hurdle is going to come, like what you are mentioning, such instance. Every OEM is improving the products, every OEM is doing work for improving the product, and I don't think so that any market impact is going to happen because of such episode.
No, I get your point. I just wanted to understand what is the current scenario at ground level. Actually, I myself had booked the two-wheeler, and I'm getting a delivery after 10 odd months. So there, it seems that there is ample of bookings out there, but the production is not happening, or there may be some reason for that. So just wanted to understand, despite these hurdles, how are OEMs thinking and what is the order book shaping out for you?
So I will request Neeraj as a marketing champion to reply this question. Neeraj, over to you.
So your voice is not audible.
Mr. Neeraj Mahajan, we are not able to hear you.
Can you hear me now?
No, sir. We're still not able to hear you.
I need to come to
sir, your voice is not clear.
No.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Yeah. Sorry. Can you please repeat the question? I was at a low signal zone just now.
So just wanted to understand, despite the EV, especially the two-wheeler industry is grappling with this fire-related incident. Despite that, there has been good demand, as I understand, because I have myself booked the vehicle and I am getting the delivery after 10 months of booking. So, even central government has come up with some regulations in that. So just wanted to understand, what is the ground reality? How are the OEMs talking about their future roadmap and what are the order books for you in that connection?
Thank you very much for this question. Very intelligent and exciting, you know, opportunity for me to share this important aspect. I think the mature and established OEMs like, for example, global ones like Honda, you know, Yamaha and Suzuki, they are still making their final plans to come into the EV journey. And some of them like Bajaj, you know, and TVS and Hero, they have already made their plans, you know, declared to the market. But EV space for two-wheeler is first disrupted by the, let's say, the new unicorns which have come into the play like Ola, Acer, and various others into this space. Now, you have to agree with me one thing that the maturity of testing validation which is there in the first two groups versus the unicorn is limited. Now, they are going through that process of, let's say, learning curve, and we are hoping that this learning curve, including the strict regulations which government is putting at place, are going to be completed in next 3 to 6 months' time. So, this is going to have a, you know, let's say cleaning up of, there are, to me, there are about 25 EV players, those who are in the market. And as an organization, we have made a very clear strategy of only focusing on 5 players, where we have made a very detailed study to understand who are going to possibly sustain or survive, and rest those who are not going to be there. So, in next 3 to 6 months' time, you will see that these unicorns are going to be, you know, turning good numbers. They are already doing, you know, more than double-digit numbers. Some are doing even in, you know, double X or triple X numbers of what they were doing last year. The next 2 or 3 months, possibly they will clean their house, bring the required technology confirmations at place, and they'll be back on the stage. Minded gentlemen, the numbers which are likely to come from EV space, especially from Unicorn, and also from the established players, whether they are Indian or and later part by the global ones, are likely to occupy the largest replacement space, in our opinion, in next 3 years' time. So we may see easily 2X, for 3X numbers coming from EV space in year 2022-23, and 23-24 could be even larger one. So this is a very temporary blip, nothing more than that.
So currently when
sorry to interrupt, Mr. Pankaj.
Just a connectivity, just connected question, ma'am. Just connected.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but there are participants waiting for their turn.
Okay, no more. No problem.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ahmadnath Bhakat from Ministry of Finance, Oman. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Mr. Minda.
Hello.
I just wanted to have a straightforward answer on a particular simple question.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. Your audio is sounding very soft.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Sir, it's still the same.
Now?
So much better. Please proceed.
Now it is clear. Yeah. So I just wanted to know, the company is doing so much of things, activity, productivity, efficiency. But at the end of the thing, our EBITDA margin is lies between 10 to 11%. We never able to cross that particular benchmark. Now, whatever the mix you are doing in the business, either in the mechatronic side or the information system side. So how we look at this particular business on an overall global term, that it will only give us the absolute EBITDA higher and the percentage will remain the same between 10 and 11? Because as a result, if you see, your return on capital employed is one of the lowest in the similar type of the company. Because if the only the revenue side is growing, the EBITDA margin somehow is not been going. Whatever is the reason, I just need to understand what pricing power what we have. Or what is the strategy of the management, including of this ED, to increase the EBITDA margin? Or we are happy with our EBITDA margin of 10-11% and return on capital employed is below 15%.
How am I going to improve that?
Very good question. Maybe this question is day in, day out, every time we discuss, we see how to do that. One thing is very, very important, that what are the product mix? You will see in different product mix. Just now we were talking about the wiring harness is having 7.1% EBITDA margin, and there are other products which is higher EBITDA margin and getting us at 10.6% EBITDA margin. So one is we continuously should do the 80-20 analysis, that which are the product is high margin products and which are the products we must get the maximum share of business, or this is one area. We have to continuously to improve the EBITDA margin through VAVE. We have to continuously improve the EBITDA margin for localization. We have to, one is the variable cost under the EBITDA margin, another is the fixed cost. So we have to work on both the areas. So that is a very very important depth and regular exercise we must keep on doing for this improving EBITDA margin from the variable cost as well as from the fixed cost perspective. Your return on capital, as I mentioned, there are some business which is assets turnover ratio again is very high. There are some business which assets turnover ratio is low, and wherever our assets turnover ratio is high, or with the capital incentive intensive like die casting, we have to be very, very careful where we have to what amount we have to invest. Third, for the EBITDA improvement, the product premiumization is also very important, and the moment we will obsolete our own products and bring new technology with premiumization products, that will also give us a benefit of EBITDA margin improvement. It is overall, I would say, it is a continuous exercise which we are doing, and we have to do it continuously and constantly.
Yeah, Mr. Minda, I just wanted to know, see, whatever you have explained so far, it is telling you that what is the reason of whatever is happening now. We as a long-term investor, we just need to know this, whatever you have said is going on in this company for last many years. But as a result, we are not seeing any improvement in the EBITDA margin. I'm sure the company must have been doing whatever you were saying from the last many years. So just wanted to have an assurance that in future going forward, when this vehicle market is going up, electric vehicle is, as you say, it is
the person you are speaking with has put your call on hold. Please stay on the line.
Hello? Hello?
Yes, sir, please proceed.
Hello, can you hear me? Yes, sir, just you need to, whatever you said, Mr. Minda, is well understood. But whatever steps you said, it has been done in the company for many years, but we still not seeing the improvement in the margin and improvement in the capital. So what assurance you can give to the investor that going forward, that something will be improved, because we are not getting any guidance. It will be 12%, 13%. What exactly you are going to do? Because theoretically, we understand whatever you say, but in numbers, when we can see that? Thank you.
See, if you see for the last 2 years, our EBITDA margin percentage versus for the last four quarter percentage, there is a significant improvement. You know, which are some of the products or some of the businesses which was not giving us a result, and we have come out from those products or those businesses. The main purpose of that was the how to improve our EBITDA margin. Simultaneously, where we have to use our bandwidth in which area to improve the company performance. And that is what I said, we have to regularly improve this. The purpose is to improve the EBITDA margin. And we are regularly improvement, you must be seeing. But even though
the market situation of the commodity price increase so heavily, should impact heavily on the EBITDA margin. But even though in tough a situation, we consistently managing the EBITDA or improving the EBITDA.
Thank you, sir. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. I just wanted to, just a small clarification on the order book side. I just wanted to know what is the amount of order that we got in quarter one FY23, and also what is the backlog value as things stand? If you could clarify.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Anshul here. So as I mentioned at the start of the call, in terms of quarter one FY23, the total lifetime order book one, which is calculated based upon the projections provided by the OEM, is close to 25,000 million rupees. This is a lifetime order book. And of which around 20% comes from EV and EV-related vehicles. And it has a healthy mix of new and replacement business across all the product segments. So our endeavor towards order booking with current customers as well as new customer goes steadfast.
So if I'm right in understanding it, it is like 25,000 million is your cumulative order book as on a quarter one, right?
This is the orders won in quarter one of FY23,
okay,
but this is the lifetime order book. So lifetime order book is based upon that it is multiplied by the product life also. So as I said, and it is based upon the projections provided by the OEM.
Okay, fine. I got it. So this is the clarification I needed. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be taking the last question. That is in the line of Abhijit Kumar from Share Giants. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for taking my question. So I would like to seek some guidance on the kind of inorganic opportunities you are looking for further further accelerating the growth path.
I have already mentioned earlier that we have decided our certain norms. And we have also explained that although our cash available is in the company, this is 350 crores. But we, unless and until our norms, whether the EBITDA margin or there are various norms, unless and until that will not be fulfilled, we are not going to look after any of these things which will impact again our EBITDA margin or other performance that we are looking very, very carefully. However, we are continuously in the process to identify that, but any inorganic growth, we will be very careful to allocate the capital allocation in such a place where we can get the good return. We have so many products already available with us, and again, as mentioned you, that we have to take those products also vertically, and we have to develop and invest in our existing product also. So we are in the process of inorganic growth, but subject to our fulfillment of the norm.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ashok Minda for his closing comments.
So thank you very much to all of you. And we are very confident that there will be a continuous and consistent performance of the company will happen. From all the investor side, we are regularly working on improving your company performance. With this, I would like to thank to all of you who have joined in this our earning call conference quarter one financial year 2023. Thank you. Thank you very much to all.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Emkay Global Financial Services, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.